How's everybody doing this afternoon? You feeling better just being in the presence of God and worshiping? Amen. God is good. Amen. Well, today, if you heard this scripture, you were probably thinking that I'm going to preach about worry, but I will not. Okay? Although worry will be covered in a big picture of things. All right? So it's not about worry, although you shouldn't worry. Today, I'm continuing my sermon and series called The Kingdom of God, okay? And last week, we said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that grows starting from small, little, tiny seed and becomes a tree that's the biggest tree that gives shelter, shade for birds of the air, for beasts of the field. Amen. And we said, now we're kind of going back step. Because we talked about how it grows. Now we want to discover what the kingdom of God is. Okay? And before I go any farther, the interesting thing that I found in the Bible is that Jesus preached so much about the kingdom of God. A lot of us think that Jesus came to die on a cross. Okay? A lot of us think that Jesus' message of the gospel or good news is to be born again, right? But the interesting thing is that most of all, Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. Now, gospel, what does that mean? Word gospel. Good news. So gospel is Greek. Okay, let's just use good news. Good news of the kingdom. Now, I want to start and ask you guys, what do we know about, what is the kingdom? Okay? What is a kingdom? Because a kingdom concept is foreign to us who live in democracy. Amen? Kingdom is different than democracy. And kingdoms are almost obsolete in our world in 2011. So it's hard for us to understand what does it mean to be a kingdom. So I want to give you a quick description that I got out of a book. What is the kingdom? Okay? It's the governing influence of a king over a territory, impacting it with a personal will, purpose, and intent, producing culture, values, morals, and a lifestyle that reflect the king's desires and a nature of his purpose for his citizens. That's the word I want to use. So kingdom is a king ruling. All right. The difference between democracies and a kingdom is in democracy, people vote. Okay? Everybody votes. We are the king. Okay? In a kingdom, the word of a king is law. His will is what goes. Now, some of you think, man, one man telling everybody else what to do and we're supposed to follow it? That's kind of evil. That's not right. That's why we dethrone King Louis or other kings in England and France and other countries. You know, that's why we wanted democracy. We didn't want some man ruling over us and telling us what to do. And we are being his subjects. Because in a kingdom, the people are subject to the king. In democracy, obviously, we all have a voice. It's our vote. Amen. And so, but democracy, although it's the best system in this imperfect world, democracy is not a perfect system. Because whoever can influence masses will get what they want. How many of you know that there's been people in history, in democratic nations, who were able to influence people? They were able to brainwash them. Like how did Hitler came to power? He was able to influence people where they were all yelling, "Hail!" You know, how do you do that? How do you all become so in communism nation? They were able to trick the masses. And today, whoever controls the media and newspapers are able to control how people think. So democracy is not perfect either. Now, kingdom is not perfect because you can have an evil king. Democracy is not perfect because you can influence the thinking of masses. And most people think how the masses think. How many of you know that most people follow a crowd? When we come to something small, and we're like, where's everybody? How come nobody's here? We come to a small church, we think, well, it's a small church, must be a cult. We come to a big church, oh, this must be right. Not necessarily. Because there could be a leader who can influence, and that's how many dictators rose up and became dictators, because they were able to influence the masses. They were able to control what they thought. They were able to control media, and they were able to do a lot of harm to the world. But when we talk about the kingdom and we talk about God, then we're talking that God is a perfect being. See, democracy is made out of imperfect people. Kings are made out of imperfect people. But when we talk about God, He is a perfect, holy. You know what holy means? Not filthy. Pure. Pure in thought, in intent, in motivation. We're talking about God who is pure. So when we talk about God, He is not a religious leader. You got to get it out of your head. God is not a religious leader. He is not a priest, although He had priests in the Old Testament. God is not a cult leader. God is a king. In the plain word, God is a king. He's not, you know, when God created this world, He did not create this world to start a religion. He came to establish a kingdom. And one characteristic of a king is that kings love to expand their territories. Amen. And so God, who's a king, if you know Alexander, who was the king of Macedonians, he wanted to, I mean, young guy, 25 years old or 22 years old, 23 years old, I mean, expanded the biggest kingdom in the world. Why did he want to do that? Every king has a desire to expand, God included. So God, who is spiritual, says, I want to manifest my kingdom in the physical realm. And so He says, I want to take this earth and I want to colonize it and make it a part of my kingdom. You see what I mean? Jesus Christ came in a time in history, and Bible calls it fullness of time, when Romans were the ruling kingdom of the world, known world of that time, right? The Romans they conquered as far as they could at that time. And what they did was they placed governors. Pilate was a governor of Judea. He placed governors, and what he would do is he would have his money with his image. He would have his rules. Remember, he stopped the sacrifices of the Jews. He says, we don't sacrifice here in this kingdom. Not like you do, Jews. So he stopped that, and so he expanded. Why did Jesus come at that particular time? Because Romans came as close as any nation before them to represent on earth what God does, what represent the kingdom on earth, what God's kingdom looks like in heaven. Okay? Now, just that's a little preview. Any questions? Probably tons. First thing God created when He created man was He created a kingdom for him. The first thing God gave to man was a kingdom. Did you know that? Okay. Genesis 1, verse 26, I believe. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. What is the word dominion? In another word, let them have kingdom. Okay, let's read that. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that moves upon along the ground. Now, notice that God says, I want you to dominate, to rule. The word dominion means this: authority, control, command, rulership, and territory. Word dominion. Notice human beings were not given dominion over one another though. Notice we're given dominion over the whole earth, over everything, but not over one another. See, when sin came into the world, that's where it corrupted that desire for dominion, and we started trying to dominate over one another. That's where slavery came in. That's where dictatorships and tyrants came in. Have you ever noticed that human beings have a desire for power? Doesn't matter how nice you are, kind you are, how good of a person you are, you want power. My little kids, my little daughter Abby, she's so bossy. She's like, she tells Daddy, come on, you got to do this. I said that, come on. And Alex would be my older son. He's like, Abby, don't tell me what to do. We don't want to be ruled over, but we sure do want to rule. We want to have dominion. And kids are a great example of that. Every one of us, although we can hide it, we say, I don't want to be in control. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You want to control. You want to be in control. You do. Amen. But listen, that's how God created you. Because desire to rule is natural to human spirit. You were born with it. You want to be the boss. But God says, I don't want you to be the boss over dominate people. I want you to dominate circumstances. I want you to dominate nature. And Jesus proved it. I want everything to submit to you. I want you to be the king on this earth, just like I am a king in heaven. But the only way you can do that, if you are connected to me. Do you know that in history, some kingdoms that were taken over, like let's say in the Bahamas, Bahamas were under rule of England, right? And then they rebelled against it. And they said, we don't want you to rule over me. America was under the rule of, that's where the George Washington rose up and defeated, and that's where Independence Day comes from, because we said, no, we don't want you to rule over us. We want to be a sovereign nation. The thing is that in human context, it worked. America is the greatest nation. But we, in principle, did the same thing to God. We said, God, we don't want your perfect rule. We want to rule ourselves. And look at the mess that we have done. Ruling ourselves. Okay? So that's just, I'm getting you somewhere. You got to follow. Don't lose me here. So we were created by God to rule this earthly kingdom. Next thing, number two. Mankind's failure through disobedience resulted in the loss of his dominion over the earth. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they lost the dominion over the earth. Let me show you something in the scriptures. Luke chapter 4. Can we open that quickly? Luke chapter 4. You can try. All right. Luke chapter 4, verses. What verse did we say up there? 5. Let's go verse 5. Okay? It says this. This is when Jesus was tempted, like all of you will be tempted, in the same way. Then the devil takes him up on a high mountain. This is right after he was baptized. Takes him on a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So he goes like this. And Jesus saw everything. I mean, the devil is a powerful sucker. All right? And then he shows him in a moment of time. And then verse 6. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you to Jesus. And their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Woo-hoo. Satan says, it's been delivered to me. It has been given to me. Who delivered the authority to Satan? Adam and Eve. It wasn't God. It was Adam and Eve. When they fell, when he tricked them into, see, man was tricked into rebellion with God. I mean, one little apple, one bite, you know? One bite out of an apple, and really, God, you're getting so mad about it? That shows you how perfect our King is. He's really perfect. He doesn't mess. See, a lot of us, we think, we don't need Jesus because I'm not that bad of a person. I can do it on my own. I don't need God in my life because I'm not that bad. Well, have you ever bitten out of forbidden apple? You have, huh? Well, then look what happened to Adam and Eve. For one little stinking disobedience, it wasn't that bad. Come on. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, God would have some mercy. Have some grace. Aren't you a good God? Aren't you like this? You don't even have evil in you. You can't even do that. You're just a fluffy teddy bear, you know, in the sky. You don't even have mind and brain, and you're just all love. No, look what one little disobedience has done. They lost the kingdom of it. Well, who was there to pick it up? Who was waiting for the kingdom? Satan was waiting there. And he said now to Jesus, and notice Jesus does not dispute that all this authority over all these kingdoms of the world has been given to him. He doesn't even dispute that Satan could give his authority to whomever he wishes. Let me read it to you again. And the devil said to him, all this authority will be given to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me and I give it to whomever I wish. So men lost the authority. Jesus was a son of man. So Satan says, you don't have it. I got it. I can give it to you. Just a little bow. Just a little bow before me and you can have it. And Jesus answers him, and I'm going to read it to you so you... And Jesus answered him and said... No, verse 7. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. All right? So man lost the kingdom. Remember what Jesus preached the most about? Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. He says, I have to preach to others the gospel of the kingdom. Everything, parables were all about the kingdom. How shall I explain the kingdom of God? It's like a mustard seed. It's like a net that's thrown into the ocean. It's like this. It's like that. It's like yeast. It's like, I mean, everything he did was, he was talking about the kingdom. A lot of you think that God came to this earth to start a religion. That's a lie. I hate religion. It divides me with my parents because we believe different and because we sing different songs than they do. I hate religion because your friends could turn on you this fast as soon as they find out that there's something little that you don't agree on. That's what religion does. Listen, God is not a religious God. You know what religion is? It's search for God. It's not God, it's just search for God. It's not God. And you probably the same way you think of Jesus and you think, oh, I just hate religion. Listen, Jesus did not came to start a religion, to reestablish rules and regulations. Jesus came to return a kingdom that was stolen, that was taken, that we gave away, that Adam and Eve gave away. He says, that's why he preaches the kingdom. And that's why over the next few weeks, we'll be talking about the kingdom. So you can have a great understanding about the kingdom. Hallelujah. When I was a younger businessman and a pastor, I had this pesky thought that would bother me like an annoying fly in a summer night. Have you ever had a fly come to you and swapping it? And have you ever had thoughts like that? They're just like annoying flies. And the thought was like this. I was a very ambitious and very driven guy, you know. I still am. You know, I'm very, very driven. I could work 24 hours a day if I had to. I did work 20 hours a day once. I was shaking after that. And Diet Coke helped me do it. And I was shaking. Seriously, don't do that. But I'm very driven, so, you know, I don't do it anymore either. I learned my lesson. And I would hear the devil. I would hear a thought. You know, a pesky thought that would say this. What you want, I can give it to you now. And I would be like, what you want, you can have it now. You might have heard it in another way, but the devil speaks to all of us. He says, like he said to Jesus, I know what you want. I know you want to take my kingdom back because it's yours. You want to give it to man. He says, just bow down to me and you can have it. I know what you want. That's what the devil says, and he'll say it to you. Because on your human faith, you can only get so far. There's a ceiling to your human faith, to your human abilities. You need more. You need either God's power or you're going to go to another power. And another power was speaking to me through those pesky thoughts and says, I know what you want and I can give it to you now. And I would hear another voice saying he's lying. And I would hear another, not a voice, I'm sorry, a thought. Devil works through thoughts. God works through your conscience. Speaks to you through your conscience. Have you ever had a thought, man, I should punch him in the throat. I should kick him in the... Have you ever had a thought and just wouldn't leave you? Man, if I only saw him, I would give him a hook. Left one. And that's how the devil works. You're like, how do you know the devil is speaking to you? Just listen to what your thoughts are saying. And listen to what your conscience is saying. God will say, no, no, no. Don't believe him. He's lying. And that's what I would hear. He's a liar. Don't believe him. He's a liar. And I would hear that in my thoughts as well. And it would continue for months. And I would swap it and I would say, stand behind me or get away from here. Get out of here. And it would just keep coming and saying, I can give it to you now. And the interesting thing is he didn't say that God wasn't going to do it. He said, with God it's going to take years. That thought says, with God, you know how God works. Abraham, 25 years before he gets his son. Paul, 15 years in the desert. David, 15 years running from Saul. Joseph, 15 years in prison as a slave. Come on, you know God, he's slow. I can give it to you now. I'm telling you the truth, guys. This is not a lie. And being so ambitious, I want it now, God. My prayers were like, God, now. I said, now. God, now. That's immature prayers. That's a prayer of a young Christian. Now. And I'm so glad he didn't do it now. Because if you get it now, you might lose it tomorrow. But if you grow into it, that's who you are. If you get $1 million now, you will lose it really fast. But if you know how to make $1 million, you can make one next year. You can lose and make one next year. Yeah. They actually did a test. They gave people who were millionaires and who were poor this $10,000. And after 3 years, they watched what they did with it. And within a few months, the poor people were broke and wanted more. The rich people turned it around, and some of them, like, I can't give you the numbers, but it was like way up there because they knew what to do with that $10,000. Right? And so that's why God doesn't give us stuff now, because he says, I want to get you ready. I want the kingdom of God to grow from a seed so big that it can carry, that it can, he can put some swings on you and he can put some blessings on you and you can have it and you can keep it and you can be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. So when Satan says to you, I can give it to you now, says, no, 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 no. I shall bow down only to God. And it might take 10 years. It might take 20 years. But I will have all the promises that God has promised me. Amen? Say amen. Not sleeping. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, next point three. Jesus came to earth to reestablish God's number one priority. Luke chapter 6, verse 33. Joanna read it today. Says this, Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now he didn't say, don't seek food or don't seek a job, because some of us will be like, okay, I'm putting job tomorrow. And I'm going to just seek God. You're not going to find him. Okay? Go to work and he'll manifest himself through your gift, through your talent. And you'll see him through the purpose that he has given you here on earth. Yeah, that's how the kingdom of God comes. Because you're like, well, I'm a Christian now. So Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you now. How does it manifest itself? It manifests through your purpose, through your God-given purpose. I was talking to owner of one of the big companies in Sioux Falls. Tony was there with me. Where's Tony? We were in the car with him. He was showing us all of his properties. And he has like over 100 people working for him, a big operation, millionaire, multimillionaire. And I said, how did you become successful? And you know what he said? He said, when I became a Christian, something happened. He said, I stopped drinking and living that lifestyle, he says. First he said that. And then he said, every decision I made, I knew it was the right one. I still had to make decisions, he said, right? He said, I still had to, but he said, I didn't make a major decision that was bad. And now I look back and I was like, wow, how did I become so successful? He said, nothing happened until I became a true Christian. He said, I was Lutheran before, but then I became a true Christian. Now, I'm not against Lutherans. Hey, hold on. Some Lutherans are true Christians too. But he said he was just a religious person. That's what he meant to say. And now he says, I'm a true believer. And he says, major decisions that we made that got us to be so successful, he said, is that we put God in everything. We put the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God is manifesting itself through his gift. He's a businessman. What do you need to seek kingdom of God for? So he can manifest through you and so he can help other people. 110 people working for him in an economy that people are losing their job. That's a blessing. That's taking care of families. That's being a blessing. Imagine you hiring 100 people. You'd feel good about it. And so many more people working for you would have their life and their kids. And that's because the kingdom of God is being manifested through you. So Jesus says this, the reason I have come, not just to die on a cross, because I had to die on a cross because that's when I bought back the kingdom. It's not so you be born again. You have to be born again because that's how you enter the kingdom. But the big picture why God sent me back to earth is so I can preach the good news of the kingdom is available now. It's going to be taken back from Satan, and you can have it, and you can live in it, and you can exercise in it, and you can produce its fruits. That's what Christianity is. It's not a religion. You know, even being a Christian is not, you know who gave us the name Christians? Pagans. Jesus didn't give us a name Christian. If you study, that's what they were calling them. Christians. That's what the pagans were calling the believers. Christians. We're the kingdom people. And kingdom. I gotta get back here. Hallelujah. So he came to redeem what Adam lost. He didn't came to redeem a religion. It's a kingdom that he came to redeem. And he doesn't want you to become a religious person. Religious people are mean, self-righteous. All the bad words you can think of. What unchristians say about religious people, that's true. We're different. Jesus is not a religious leader. He is a king. Let's look at this verse closely, and I'm almost done. Give me 5 minutes. It says verse 33, but seek first the kingdom. Now, let's talk about seek more closely. Our first instruction from Jesus is to seek. Seek means pursue, to study, to search, to explore, to understand, to learn. Seek it, he says. Notice it's not a one-time thing. Disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, when is your kingdom coming? He said, it's not going to come like here or now. It's within you. It's growing within you. It comes as a small seed. Whenever you accept Jesus into your life and confess Him as Lord, it starts as a small seed. And then it grows. Why do we come here? So we can water that seed. So we can be taught more of the kingdom, what it's about. But it's not about religion. It's not about even this church. This church is just a school. Church really is the people, not the building. Besides, this was a bowling alley before. So he said, seek first. Seeker must have a desire to know. What do people seek in this world? Well, if you heard Joanna read, she says, do not worry about your life, what you eat, drink, what you clothe your body into, and things like that. How many of you heard of Abraham Maslow, a famous psychologist, American psychologist? Abraham Maslow said this, there's just, he made a hierarchy of human needs, of human desires in order, starting from the bottom. Water, food, clothing, housing, protection, security, preservation, self-actualization, and significance. Okay, thank you. And so he says that. That's what humans seek. That's the first thing we need is air, water, food, clothing, things like that. Jesus said, listen, don't spend your life just seeking those. Don't spend your life just looking for a car. Don't spend your life just worry about who am I going to marry. He says, don't worry about it. It's a waste of life. If you lived all your life only hunting for food, and that's all you did. He says, there is a greater purpose for you. And through that purpose, I want my kingdom to be manifested. That's how I want the world to know my principles that are in heaven, on earth, is through you. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, he didn't say God, said send God to come. God is not coming down. He enjoys himself in heaven. He rules the heavens. He says, but your rule, your government, your way of thinking, your laws, your influence, your principles, may they come down on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you know if the world didn't have Christianity, we wouldn't be in this place we are today? America is the best country in the world. Because why? Based on biblical Christian, Judeo-Christian principles. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the poor. That's all in the Bible. Give to the poor. I mean, imagine you remove that out of our world. You might not be a believer today, and that's okay because you will be soon. But you might not be a believer, but just a lot of things you're doing in your life, you don't even know why. But because missionaries and people instilled it in our culture. The reason we even have Sunday, day off. The reason you have day off on Sunday is because it comes from the Bible. Slaves worked 7 days a week. And if it was up to Satan, we would be working 7 days a week. Imagine. And Jewish people are really hardworking, and God says, if you work on a 7 day, I'm going to kill you. That's what God said. No working on 7 days. Why? Because in our nature, devil wants us to work so we can get more. Greedy. If only I can work on Sunday. Listen, it doesn't matter. You can work 24 days a week and still be broke. It's not about that. Or you can work 5 days a week and be blessed. Because God can pour out on those 5 days like you can't do in your lifetime. One day of favor is better than a lifetime of labor. That's what God can do. So you're blessed today that we hear this word. He didn't come to start a religion. We got to stop being religious. We got to start discovering. When I started searching for the word kingdom, I was so shocked because there's 54 just in the Gospels references to the kingdom, plus the kingdom of heaven. There's even more. I mean, Jesus, everything he did, the gospel of the kingdom, this parable is about the kingdom, and everything was about the kingdom. He came to restore you to what you fell from, what we fell from. That's the kingdom. He didn't say, seek religion. He said, seek first the kingdom. Do you get it? Kingdom, what does it mean to seek first the kingdom? The way God thinks, the way the king thinks. Let me read to you again what it means. The governing influence of a king over a territory, impacting its personal will, purpose, and intent, producing a culture, value, morals, lifestyle that reflects the king's desire and nature for his citizens. That's what he says. Seek, what does God created me for? A lot of people, I don't want to think about what God created me for. I'll just live. No, you have to. The worst thing of living a life without a purpose. Because through your purpose, God manifests. I'm a businessman and a pastor too. But in business, I've seen so much the kingdom of God working. There's been time I wanted to buy certain big equipment, spend thousands, and God said no. And I did it, and I was so glad I didn't. There was one time I wanted to buy a business, and God said, not yet. I've seen the kingdom principles guide me and made me who I am today. I can testify that it's been God in my life. And the best is yet to come. Because if it starts as a seed, I know I'm not a tree yet. I'm a juvenile tree, but there's room to grow. Amen. It doesn't end. It's just the beginning. Hallelujah. God is good. Jesus came to bring back the kingdom. He came to restore what was lost in the Garden of Eden. It's not religion that brings you closer to God. It's Jesus that brings us close to God. And if one little mistake in the Garden of Eden kept them away from God and would have kept them away forever, humanity would have destroyed themselves. Without God, influence at least a little bit. Jesus was a perfect man who came and lived perfectly. And when he was crucified, there was a great exchange happening. Satan says he didn't understand what Jesus was doing. Satan thought he defeated Jesus on the cross. Because the Bible says if Satan knew what he'd done, he would never do it. He would never crucify Jesus if he knew what was happening. He just didn't know. He's not that smart, you know. And that's where Jesus took away the keys of the kingdom. Remember, the Bible says, from him. He took away keys from hell, death. He took it away. He's not a king anymore. He acts like it because you don't know who you are. We don't know who you are. That's why he can take advantage of you. And the Bible says, my people perish because lack of knowledge. If you know you have money in a bank, but you're working at McDonald's, and that's kind of what it means. God is your father. And notice that God didn't call you his subjects. He didn't call me his subject. He calls us sons and daughters of God. We're his sons. Girls, listen, you are princesses. You know how girls have a desire to be a princess? My daughter, kind of grown out of it now, but when she was 3, 4, 5, she just always wanted to be a princess. I mean, Tanya, give me a look. No, girls don't grow out. I read that. Look, girls don't grow out of trying to be a princess. You are a princess. Your dad is a king. You are a princess. You should be treated like a princess, yeah? It's not just a princess syndrome. You are a princess. Guys, you are. You are sons. And if your father is a king, then you are a prince. Isaiah, the last scripture I'm going to read, because we're going to pick this up next week again, because there's so much more. Are you getting something out of this? Amen. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, and we're almost done. Keep clapping. Yeah, I'm going to finish fast. No, I thought you kept clapping, so I'd be like, over. Oh, is that what it is? Last scripture. I'll start running here because I'm so full of energy. Okay. Listen to this. Listen, prophecy of Jesus, about Jesus 1,000 years before he was born. Isaiah 9:6. It says this: "For unto us a child is born." Okay? He's not born yet. 1,000 years ahead. He will be born. "Unto us a child, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders." Hold on. The word government, what is it talking about? Okay? Government. Rule. He's a king. He's not the church. The church will not be on his shoulders. It's not going to be religion that he's going to carry on his shoulders. What is he going to be? The government. Meaning he's bringing the government of God and he's going to put it back in order. You didn't know this about the Bible. This is pretty cool, isn't it? We're just touching we're just really starting on this. There's so much. Jesus was so angry at religious leaders. He said, "You hypocrites, Pharisees, you have the keys to the kingdom. You know how, you know it works, but you block it and you don't go in and you don't let other people in." He says, "Woe to you, hypocrites." The biggest problem to people in the kingdom of God was religious leaders. We could become pastors, teachers. We can become the biggest obstacle for people to get into the kingdom. And when Jesus came, people just, especially the simple, the poor, the sinners, they loved him. They loved hanging out with him because he was different. He was a king. He was not a religious dude that we didn't agree with. He was a king. And Pilate says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He says, "You say that I am. But my kingdom is not of this world. Because if it was, I would have so many legions, 12 legions of angels fighting for me. And one angel destroyed the whole army of Egyptians. One angel destroyed 175,000 in the Old Testament of Assyrians. One angel. Legion is 6,000 angels. 12 times 6. Who's a mathematician here? It's a lot. He said, if I wanted to, one angel would do the whole job. But I could have 12 legions. But my kingdom is not of this world. I brought a different kingdom. I don't want to beat you, defeat you. I want to come through the heart and change the world. The government shall be upon his shoulder. We thought a religious leader came. No, he wasn't. He was a king with a government. A new way of thinking. A new way of acting. A new way of doing. And I don't have time. Because the last part of it is, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Righteousness doesn't mean that you're perfect. It just means you and the government have a right relationship. You have a good relationship with the king, with the government. You don't rebel like Satan did or like Adam and Eve did. You are in. And the thing is, but I'm not perfect. Well, if you accepted Jesus for your perfection, then God sees perfection when he looks at you. That's why we accept the great exchange. That's why when we accept Jesus, the exchange happens. My sins, past, present, and future, are being crucified on a cross. His righteousness and perfection is being put on me. That's what it is. So when God looks at you today, although you're a sinner, he looks at you as perfect because he sees you through the eyes of, through the blood of Jesus. So you're perfect and I'm perfect. Now that doesn't mean that gives us license to go and sin, you know, because I'm perfect now. No. Because then you wouldn't be in the right standing with God if you do that. And Bible says, seek first this and everything else will be added unto you. We'll pick it up next week. So bring somebody with you. Our vision here at New Life is to bring people who are far from God closer to Jesus.
closer to understand His kingdom, to know His kingdom, live in His kingdom, have that kingdom manifest through them and expand in this city and all over the world. Amen. Put your hands together and bless God.